Well, today we continue our series, The Unveiling of Christmas. And our first week we looked at hope, last week we looked at peace, and today we're looking at joy. Joy is the third area in our journey of Advent. And I want to start this morning by reading out a letter that was received by one of the mums from Brighton Sands Public School, where we have sent the Gifts of Hope for the Gifts of Hope appeal. And this is what the letter said. It's to Suzanne Coleman, the chaplain there. She said, "This is a beautiful gesture from both the St. Susie Baptist Church as well as yourself. I just wanted to say sincerely, thank you for consistently thinking of my family across this difficult year. We've been struggling in many ways this year, and unfortunately we don't have a lot of support around us. So every time you've reached out, it has been truly uplifting and deeply impactful in my spirit. You are a blessing and a reminder that God does work through his people. Much love, and I hope you're able to wind down and have a well-deserved break." I don't know what that does for you, but as I read over that letter and as Suzanne Coleman told me about this email, I was filled with joy. I was filled with a radiant sense of joy. And the reason for that, and the reason why we are filled with such joy when we read letters like this, particularly if that did that for you in this moment, it's because I believe we come from this place of death and destruction into a place of being restored and life the moment we accept Jesus Christ into our lives. We've been there. We've experienced what it was like, or what life was like before having faith in Jesus Christ and what it is like today. And to see someone take that step, or that further step into the kingdom, that is what fills us with that sense of joy at this time. I hope that's what you experience, because when we come to Christmas, it is a reminder that that is why Jesus ultimately came into this world, amen? To fill us with a sense of hope, peace, and joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. That is what Christmas is all about, amen? This is why we ultimately celebrate this time of year. And this is why he came, so that people all around the world would be drawn to him, would come into relationship with him. For that is where true joy is birthed out of. True joy is birthed out of a place of restoration. It's birthed out of a place of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "For let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father and the right hand of the throne of God." The joy set before Jesus was the goal of saving and redeeming this whole entire world through nothing else other than his love. That is, again, the sole reason for which he came. And so when we see this word joy, when we sing of this word joy, it means so much more than just the feeling of happiness or pleasure. It goes so much deeper than that. It's actually the very mechanism that allows us to persevere in life, the very mechanism that leads us into all sense of obedience and faithfulness to our Lord and King. For that is what we see in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered one of the most horrific, most unbelievable ordeals that anyone could ever imagine to experience. But yet what this passage outlines for us was that his experience was one of joy. So there is something here that Jesus has experienced that we ought to as well. Something that we may need to discover or rediscover in our lives, this sense of joy, true joy. One of the greatest examples, I believe, we have of joy in the Gospels is the moment when Jesus reaches out his hand and touches someone and heals them, restores them. For the moment they are restored, what happens? What's the common theme? They are overjoyed. They praise him. They worship him. Whether it's the leper or the blind man or the bleeding woman, the common theme is that they are overjoyed with thankfulness, overcome with thankfulness. They rejoice. And so true joy, real joy, comes out of this state of restoration, this place of being restored. And what we come to celebrate at Christmas time is that our God has come into this world, come into our existence to be the very vessel, the very source of our restoration, of our salvation, therefore the very source of our joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are restored in a spiritual sense. And that is what these miracles are ultimately pointing to. This is what Jesus' miracles were foreshadowing, that he was coming into the world to restore us, to fill us with a sense of true joy. And from that sense of restoration, it should spring forth thanksgiving, praise, worship. And so when it comes to the hardships and the difficulties of life, which there have been many this year, we should still be drawn to this sense of joy. Our experience should be one of joy, no matter what hardship we are facing, no matter what difficulty we are facing. Nothing should compare to knowing Christ our Lord, to being restored by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very much the example or the experience that the Apostle Peter experienced. And in his first letter, in 1 Peter 1:8, he says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Why are they joyful? Why is their experience one of inexpressible, glorious joy? Because of the salvation of their souls. And that joy is coming again from a place of restoration, which is where this psalm that was read out to us earlier, Psalm 126, this is the place that it's coming from. And that was written about a similar time where the prophet Nehemiah declared these words in Nehemiah 8:10. "Go and enjoy choice food and drink and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. This passage we have no doubt heard before. It's no doubt a passage that you memorized or posted on your mirror or your desk at work. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy is the very mechanism of perseverance in this life. Joy is the very mechanism of hope. Why? Because it comes from the Lord God himself. True joy is derived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only does it come from a place of restoration, it also is derived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." For when you are in step with the Spirit, when the Spirit is at work in your life, what should spring forth from your life but joy, hope, peace, love, everything that we're going to be looking at throughout this series. Inexpressible, glorious joy. And this again is what we can draw on in times of upheaval, in times of stress. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's the perspective we need to realize that, hey, nothing could be worse than not knowing God. Nothing could be worse than not being in a relationship with him. I know him, I have a relationship with him, and as a result, I have been restored. Praise God. So where in your life are you feeling overwhelmed right now? Where in your life has stress got the better of you? Anxiety got the better of you? What in your life is causing you pain and hardship? Well, I encourage us all today to draw our strength, not from the world, but from the joy of your salvation. Worship him, give thanks to him, and what you'll start to realize as you do that is that anxiety will start to recede, that worry will start to recede. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist pastor, once wrote, "There is a famous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to taste, and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace of the joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. So let us pray that this season will be one of joy, that we would experience this joy as a result of our restoration before God, and realizing that this joy is only derived from the power of the Holy Spirit. But may it ultimately lead us to experience holy joy, which ultimately will have this kind of influence and effect over those in our lives that we come to impact with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Loving Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for your salvation for this whole entire world. We thank you for the mission and the purpose, the very reason for which you came into this world. And Lord, as we come now to sing of this carol, Joy to the World, may it breathe new life into our souls. May we see it in a different light as we reflect on what it means to be vessels of hope, peace, and joy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.